Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Online Warriors podcast. It's your boy, Illegal86. I am here with my good friends, Tactic and Nerd Bomber. And I want to ask you guys to start the show. So we're Online Warriors, right? We presumably have, I guess, violent bones in our bodies because we're warriors. We're defending things. You're an online warrior. You have to choose one website to defend with your life as a warrior. Tactic, what website are you defending?
I don't know if I would consider this a website. It's kind of in the media right now, so I guess I'm going to say TikTok.
I think TikTok's a website, right? If I went to TikTok.com, something would probably happen, right? I'd probably be routed through TikTok. That's an interesting answer. I mean, I guess, yeah, they need all the defense they can get right now from what I've gathered. I don't know. Be brave, man. I'm rooting for you. Nerd Bomber, what do you think? I'm really asking what your favorite website is. I feel like that's what I'm asking.
At risk of sounding like a potential internet troll, I love me some Reddit because there is no experience that you have had that someone on Reddit hasn't already had and asked about and talked about on Reddit. Like, literally, This is horrible probably for like media and internet literacy for myself. But if I have like a medical thing, I'm like, oh, why is my, I don't know, toe purple? I can look on Reddit. It's not currently purple, but like I could look that up and they would be like, wow, you have a grimace toe.
Purple toeitis.
Yeah.
I would go further than that and say that if you need an answer to any, remember Yahoo Answers?
Yahoo Answers was so clutch.
To be clear, my answer to this question is not Yahoo Answers, although that would be funny.
I mean,
ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. I'm defending Jeeves' dead body. Yeah, no, Yahoo Answers is, I think it actually still might be around, or like it's at least archived, but like there was a time when like if you wanted an answer to a question, you could at least theoretically go to Yahoo Answers and get like either a well thought out answer to the question or like someone being a goofball.
Every now and then, because remember there were the little weird avatar people, like it would look like a cartoon version of yourself, but every now and then you'd get like a serious answer and they'd be like, I'm a distinguished professor from this and this university, and then you'd look them up and you'd be like, oh my god.
And nowadays, like, there's, I think Quora kind of does that, like there are still sites that do that, but like Reddit is like it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of the same thing, but it's self-regulating, right? If someone gives a dumb answer like, D's nuts or something, like it just gets downvoted to oblivion and then you don't see it.
And then you also get fun commentary. Like on Quora, it's just the answer and that's it. But then you have the answer and then you have like 20 other people who are like, oh my God, this same thing happened to me and my toe fell off and became a milkshake. I'm still going with the purple grimace toe thing. Sorry.
I love an AMA. I haven't read one in a while. I had a Reddit phase and I've kind of gotten out of it because it was a huge time sink. But like, yeah, I respect the heck out of Reddit for what it is. My answer would probably be Twitter. And let me be clear, I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of the amount of time I spend on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, ideally like 2019 Twitter probably is when we were in a really good spot. But even now, like Twitter with all its problems and all of its ownership being sucky and like all that, there are just like extremely funny people on Twitter at all times. And like, we're not going to talk about it here because we're probably going to do it in a secret segment. That's a little plug. But like, when something happens in the world, for example,
Kate Middleton.
Yeah, when Kate Middleton just like, I don't know, purportedly photoshops her own Mother's Day photo or something. Like, I know when I first hear about it, I'm like, oh man, Twitter's probably the funniest place on the planet right now. And I go on and like, lo and behold, it's never failed me when something like that happens. Or like, I was listening to another podcast today about the, which I don't think we talked about this on the air, but like that Wonka thing that happened in like England or whatever, in Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just like a thing happens and then Twitter gets a hold of it. And it's like, I think it's like, it's people, it's less like lift up the good answers than like Reddit is.
I mean,
it's
that makes more so like, anything scary now with photos.
It's a lot of like, I think a lot of people are competing to be funny on Twitter. And as someone who is not, and as someone who's just kind of like quote unquote working, I win because I just see all the funniest stuff. My answer would be Twitter. YouTube, a very close second, because I spend a lot of time on YouTube.
Yeah, Twitter is, if you're going for the commentary, if you're just trying to get the facts, you got to go somewhere else. Like, you got to go to Cha-Cha to get the answers.
Oh, do you guys remember that? Oh, my God.
Oh, Cha-Cha was
Cha-Cha
awesome.
On speed dial.
You know Cha-Cha was a real person, right?
I know. There are real people on the other end. They would, like, I don't know if they were Googling the information or flipping through an encyclopedia, but I don't know. That was great.
I'll do you one better. I know someone who worked for Cha-Cha. And
no way.
Emails. Do you know who worked for Cha-Cha? You can bleep his name. Or you can edit this whole thing out. Jeff worked for Cha-Cha for a minute.
No way.
I'm not kidding you.
Honestly,
100%.
If there was anybody in my life that I would be like, you know, that guy.
I doubt he was a positive force, but he worked for Cha-Cha. They paid him some amount of money. I don't know how the financials worked. Yeah, Cha-Cha was a thing.
Did they pay him per cha? Like every answer was like 5 cents?
I actually think you're joking, but I actually do think they got paid per cha. I don't know. Cha-Cha employees or former Cha-Cha employees, because it's probably out of business. Hit us up on Twitter at OWLeal86, at OWTectic, at OWNerdBomber, our main show account, at OnlineWarriors1. How did the financials work? If you were an employee of Cha-Cha, what was your experience like? We want to know. We're going to be talking about a few things today. We're going to be talking about a game, a show, and a film. The classic trifecta, so to speak. So, I guess I can say what those things are, or we can just dive right into one. And I think we should just dive right into one. This is a topic that I picked. I want to talk about Mr. Beast for a second. Because I'm not sure. I haven't checked the tape. I haven't scrubbed the data. But I feel like we've never talked about Mr. Beast on this show. And
Mr. Beast. I gotta be honest.
We'll get to that. I will say that I have never watched a Mr. Beast video, but I know what his deal is, if that makes sense. I know what his shtick is, at least these days, because he's so ubiquitous at this point on YouTube. Whether or not you watch him, you kind of just hear about him. Before we get to the news, I guess, what is your beef with Mr. Beast?
So on Twitter, X, what have you, I noticed recently there's a lot of like Mr. Beast content coming onto my feed, and I had never seen that before. I don't want to blow up his spot. I understand he gives away a lot of money somehow and makes a lot of money and is doing this TV show. But all of those things that are on my feed are unidentified ads. And did you know it's illegal to run an ad without identifying it as an ad? And they're all unidentified ads. Like you can, when you click on the little like three buttons, you know, like the dots to like get the menu up, it's like, oh, learn more about this ad. But nowhere on the actual post does it say it's an ad. And I hate that.
My only beef with Mr. Beast is that his content kind of gave the widespread media a platform to do the whole, we're going to give money to this homeless person. And then like really just kind of like, I don't know, it just feels icky. If you're going to be a nice person, just be a nice person. And his content kind of like made that widespread across many YouTubers. And that always felt icky to me. Just be a good person. Don't like publicize it.
Yeah, it's like, in that same vein, like it feels dystopian to me. Like, so okay, the news here is that Amazon went to Mr. Beast, who, by the way, Mr. Beast's real name is Jimmy Donaldson, which I just think is a very funny, like,
how do you go from someone that who calls to himself Mr. Beast?
Well, also, if you like, I think Mr. Beast is a funny name, because if you like, and I'm like, I'm not slamming on this guy's looks by any means, but like when I see a picture of Mr. Beast, Beast is not necessarily the first word that comes to mind. He's 25 years old, and he was approached by Amazon to create a series called Beast Games. This show will feature 1,000 contestants, and they will all be competing for a single $5 million cash payout. So this is historic in the sense that $5 million is the most ever, I believe.
It has to be.
The most I've ever seen on a show is $2 million. And that was like a big deal when it happened. It was the Survivor 40th season. So like, to give you some examples, because like this article also mentions his most popular videos include $456,000 Squid Game in real life, which sees 456 people battle it out in games from the show, basically. And then this is the one that I've heard of. Last to leave the circle wins $500,000. 100 contestants get dropped into a circle until one person remains to take the cash prize. I don't, when I hear things like that, and like, he also has been doing a lot of things lately of like, we dug 100 wells in Africa, which like is a good thing. But like, I'm college educated. I do not understand how the Mr. Beast videos make any money.
Well, like, I think if it's all like advertisements and stuff, like they're generating a ton of ad revenue. And I don't know this for certain, but I'm pretty sure that people also, I don't know if it's on Twitch or if he has a Patreon, but like, I think he has a venue set up for people to donate money. And then he in turn goes around and donates that money to make more content for which he'll
he's like
money.
Well, how he got started is actually kind of interesting. He started with basically taking a gamble on himself, giving away large amounts of money, and right, like to his own detriment, and it got traction. And then he said, well, okay, I gotta up
this. Wasn't he the OG person who would like walk into a store and be like, buy whatever you want for $500 or however much you can fit in the shopping cart and I'll pay for it?
Not only that, he would also do like crazy things like, I'm gonna sit here and watch I'm going to stare at this paper clip for 48 hours and just did that. And he committed to the bit. And so, like, again, he said, I'm going to torture my own self in this big thing that no one else would do. And it'll have shock value. And that's kind of how he built his brand.
Well, he also has now, like, because you mentioned his brand, like, he has, like, chocolate bars now. Like, if you go to, like, a Walmart, there's, like, Mr. Beast bars.
Diversify your portfolio, baby. You can't be nothing but proud of him.
He had Mr. Beast Burger, which may or may not still be going on. I'm actually not sure.
See, all of these things, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I have nothing really personal against him. But I've heard that the food was shitty. Like, it was a ghost kitchen, and it was horrible. I heard the chocolate bars were also shitty and overpriced. Like, I don't remember, but I think, like, Walmart put them on sale eventually because they were, like, absurdly priced. So, like, are you proud of them? I don't know.
Well, and
I'm trying to diversify.
What I don't understand about that, too, again, like, from a financial perspective, it's like, well, actually, not from a financial perspective, from, like, a consumerism perspective, like, are you going to see, because, like, I'm fans of some YouTubers, but then they're always like, buy my merch, and I'm like, no. Like, I can't imagine being like, oh man, I gotta get the Mr. Beast chocolate bar because he told me to get it and I bet it's really good. It's like,
but
no,
to be
man.
Clear, if we, like, ever came up with an online Warriors chocolate bar, you better all buy it.
Yeah, that's true. It would be amazing. It would certainly be amazing. But, like, I guess that's the thing. Like, I don't get it. And, like, yeah, I guess speaking as someone on the internet who, like, we have sold merch, or maybe even we're currently selling merch. I don't even know. Like, I get that. But, like, it's one thing to, like, do that, and then, like, but, like, ghost kitchens are a totally different thing. Like you said, that is the correct terminology for it. It's, like, an actual term. It's, like,
dude,
you're kind of just paying for it because his name is on it, and that's just kind of weird to me.
I don't mean to go on a tangent here, but the ghost kitchen thing in general, wild. I was very upset. So I was looking up potential, like, cheaper pizza options, right? Because pizzas can kind of expensive, especially if you get, like, wings or garlic knots or anything like that with it. Like, stuff's getting pretty pricey. So I was just perusing Grubhub looking for alternative pizza kitchens near me. Ended up sticking with the original, but I came across one that was like Pasquale's, very Italian name. You're like, okay, let's see what you got. It's freaking Chuck E. Cheese. It's Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Oh, they gotcha.
We didn't order it, but as I was looking, I was like, this looks like a weird slice of pizza. And then I Googled it, and it's the same address as Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, generally speaking, there's, like, also a bunch of other weird stuff going on DoorDash and, like, Grubhub and all those places. Anytime you order from there, you're probably, like, their prices are higher than it would be if you, like, just went to the place. I think most of the time that's the case. So, like, even if you're paying a delivery fee and a whatever fee on top of it, they're still just upping the prices because it happens to be on the app or something. There's stuff like that going on with those. But getting back to Mr. Beast, $5 million. Like, I mean, television's a big business. And, like, if this is half as successful as, like, that Squid Game thing was, I'm sure it'll make a good buck for Amazon and for him. But, like, 1,000 people. To be clear, it doesn't say what they're going to be doing. It just says it's a big reality competition series. So, like, I don't know if it's going to be a bunch of mini games like the Squid Game thing, or if it's going to be, like, put them all in a giant circle and see who lasts the longest. Like, that might not be interesting to watch for an entire season of TV. But, like, I'm sure he's got some ideas. He seems to have a lot of ideas. I don't know. Like, it does seem like an interesting turn because, again, it seems like recently he's been doing more things. Like, didn't he also do the thing with, like, curing a bunch of people's blindness or something recently? That was another thing he did. So, like, it seems like more recently he's been like, hey, I'm going to, like, do a good thing and you should all watch it. And to be clear, I still haven't. But, like, now he's like, actually, I'm just going to make a reality television show. So
he's diversifying. I don't know, Amazon,
he's certainly diversifying. Amazon is putting this out. So I don't know, if you're a Prime Video person, Prime Video is doing commercials now. So maybe that's how they're funding the Mr. Beast thing. But yeah, no release date or anything for that. They just announced the series. And Mr. Beast is a guy whose name is Jimmy Donaldson. I want to make that clear again. Apparently, he finalized a deal with Amazon for around $100 million. He's the most subscribed individual on YouTube with over 245 million subscribers. I've never once watched one of his videos. Have you guys watched his videos before? I don't know if you mentioned before that you had.
I've seen a few.
It's got to be, I mean, 245 million. It's got, like, I must know, like, a billion people who have subscribed to his channel. I'm not one of them.
Not me.
Anyways, shout out to Jimmy Donaldson, Jimmy D. Keep on diversifying your portfolio, I guess, because it seems to be working. Listen, nobody wants to die. I mean, let me just say that. That's not even, the topic is nobody wants to die, but it's also just a thing that I think is true. Nobody wants to die. A new game was announced for PS5, PC, and Xbox by Poland-based developer Critical Hit Games. We got a trailer for this. It's being compared a lot to Cyberpunk 2077. I don't know if I agree with that characterization entirely, But
maybe the lay of the land, but that's about it.
Here's the gist. In Nobody Wants to Die, you play Mortality Department Detective James Cara as he puts his life on the line pursuing a serial killer targeting the who's who of NYC in the early 24th century. Yeah, we're talking flying cars, but also, like, it's an interesting mix, right? Flying cars, but also, like, a gumshoe in every sense of the word. He's, like, wearing a fedora and, like, drinking out of a flask and, like, you know, being old-timey detective. Having watched the trailer, yeah, I'm into this. I didn't play Cyberpunk 2077. I don't think this is particularly similar. I like the New York-ness of it all. Like, at one point in the trailer, they show, like, a kind of demolished Statue of Liberty. I think there's a lot of cool things they could do. I also think graphically it looks really good. So,
and he did some things with his fingers to, like, change time.
Timey stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. It kind of very different games, but in terms of, like, the detectiveness and some, like, supernatural ability, it also gave me hints of, like, Murdered Soul Suspect, which is a little bit of a, like, way back throwback. I think that was on, like, the PS3 Xbox 360 era, but it was kind of like the same thing where, like, as a detective, I think you were dead though, so, like, clearly not quite the same, but, like, you had the ability to see memories and things that had happened that other people couldn't see. And, like, I don't know, that's kind of like any kind of time you add a supernatural element to, like, a detective style game or story, I think that has the potential to be cool.
Looking at the screenshots too, I'm going to use a Gen X phraseology here, it's very BioShock coded. It's like, yeah, it's not steampunk. Or, like, I don't even know if you call BioShock steampunk, but, like, it's because of the combination of noir, like, classical noir and, like, the future. I guess if you add those two things together, you kind of just wind up with something that looks like BioShock, which, like, to be clear, I'm very on board with that. I love BioShock. Still never finished Infinite, which is, like, a weird thing to not have finished, but I couldn't get into it. But yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on the gameplay, because, like, we didn't see a whole lot of that. The trailer was basically a cinematic. You know, if this gets too RPG-y, I'll probably be out, but... you know, you guys know me these days. I'm really into solving crimes.
I vaguely, like, remember crimes. A similar premise was like a sci-fi movie where, like, it was like a dystopian future and everyone had, like, cameras in their vision and, like, detectives can gather the last moments that they saw from their brain. There was a
you're
movie.
Potentially thinking of Minority Report. Minority Report, though, they use what are called precogs. Have you guys ever seen Minority Report? Freaking awesome.
I feel like
movie.
I did, but a really long time ago, to the point where, like, it's very foggy in my memory.
Basically, it's the future. I think in that movie it happens to be Chicago, and it's like, it's, I don't think it's this distant of a future. I think it's like half of this distance. But, like, Tom Cruise is a detective and he uses these beings called precogs who can, like, see into the future a certain limited amount of time. So they basically tell him that, like, there's going to be a murder, and then he asks, like, who did it, and they're like, you did it. So then, like, it gets kind of weird after that, obviously, but it's like, yeah, it's very, like, he's a detective, but also, like, technology has far surpassed what we have now, so, like, detectives' jobs are, like, quite different. So, like, I am interested in seeing, like, this guy's, like, wearing a pinstripe suit and, like, you know, smoking a cigar and, like, drinking scotch, which is, like, all the things a detective should do, but, like, in the future, you also have to, like, manipulate time and, like, use this goofy glove thing to, I don't know, learn a lot more than a 1940s detective would. So I'm very on board with this. I don't know if it's day one buy territory, but it's day one trailer watch territory for sure.
This is like fall season, I'm going to play it, kind of easing back into video game territory.
This feels like something, and I don't know what the scope of this game is going to be, if they're going to drop it as like a full-fledged $70 game, or if it's going to be more of those like $39.99. Like,
oh, this is $70 for sure.
Is it?
100%.
I feel like this is something that I'll pick up when it's on sale for like $15 in a year from now. And then I'll be like, wow, I remember thinking how cool this game looked and have a blast with it.
It's also interesting, you know, if you really want to, you know, go in on this cyberpunk comparison, which I still don't know that I agree with, but if you just take it for what it is, which is like a futuristic city that is like open world and your character is, I don't know if in cyberpunk if you solve mysteries necessarily, but like, it's an open world and you can do a lot of stuff and it's in the future and it's graphically this and that. Like, there is a space for that right now, if only for a company to come in and be like, hey, we can make a game like Cyberpunk that looks as good and isn't like bug ridden to all heck, because like we just had Steven on the show and he was talking about how it was like a good game, but like he was saying even at the time he played it, which was pretty recently, like presumably they would have fixed all those bugs, and he said it was still crashing like constantly. So Nobody Wants to Die, if you can like take that element out of it and provide an experience that even remotely like Cyberpunk, I think you're headed to the moon. because I think if anyone accomplished that, it would be a big deal. That's why people were excited about Cyberpunk in the first place, right? Offered a lot, it promised a lot, and then it in a lot of ways didn't quite deliver. I think the moral of the story is if it's 2329, that's the year this takes place, just don't commit crimes, because like probably by that point we'll have figured it all out, right? In terms of like catching criminals.
I mean, I think the idea though is like there's always going to be a shady underground, at least in all of this futuristic stuff. Like maybe regular crime is hard to commit because they'll find you, but I feel like there's all the little like shady mob stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the thing I struggle with a little bit with these sorts of futuristic crime stories is like, I feel like 100 years from now, it's going to be basically impossible. I mean, I guess I hope that's true. But like, meanwhile, in the 40s, you could like shoot someone in front of a cop and they'd be like, oh, that was weird. Anyways, 1940s, man, they were really just, detectives were just kind of like passing the time by drinking and then occasionally solving a crime. But without DNA, there's only so much you could do.
And now there's DNA on everything.
It's true. I mean, especially considering how like true, how obsessed with true crime everyone is today. I also feel like social awareness is up too high. Or like, it's harder to commit crimes because everyone's on the lookout for stuff. Not that they shouldn't be. But I imagine in 2329, everyone's going to be on their guard. Anyways, there's no release date for this. We have no timeline for it. Just know that nobody wants to die. Because again, I still think that's just an actual truth. And start thinking about how you would solve a crime that far into the future.
Or commit one that far in the future. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, I mean, this is a serial killer. So like, he hasn't just killed. He's killed multiple times and it's been like, oh, it's pretty easy. So we'll have a good detective story, probably pretty in on this. And yeah, it also says uncover a ton of dark secrets about New York's most powerful people. So like
the
Urbana, you mentioned the underbelly, and we'll see what happens with all that.
Master Splinter.
Well, that was the Ninja Turtle guy, right?
Yeah.
I never watched a second of Ninja Turtles. I'm sorry.
Really?
Just lost
How
one of my favorite.
You can leave. You can leave.
I know. They eat pizza. They're turtles. They do karate or whatever. And then there's a rat. Is the rat Master Splinter or is the rat the bad guy?
The rat is Master. You need to stop talking. The rat is Master Splinter.
Shredder is the bad guy you're thinking of.
Shredder is the bad guy. Got it. Well, I'll have to watch some Ninja Turtles on my own time. And I'll watch the Megan Fox one. Michael Bay from like a few years ago. Did you guys see it?
I've watched really every Turtles anything. So yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Bay, you know, there's a reason he keeps making movies. People crap on him all the time, but he knows how to do an explosion. I'll tell you that much. We'll take a short break now and come back to talk about Harold and the Purple Crayon, which you guys are going to have to explain to me because I don't think I ever read the book or anything. But before we do that, I would be remiss. I just mentioned Steven before. When he came on the show, we were talking to him a little bit about Cyberpunk. And Steven got to come on the show as a result of one of his many perks as a Night Level subscriber on our Patreon. He is a producer on this show. As a result, he gets the occasional guest spot, as I mentioned. He also gets input into the weekly game segment, which I don't think I'm hosting this week, but we'll find out. He also, of course, gets access to the monthly secret segment and vlog, and he gets this producer shout out on every episode. If you're not quite a producer slash knight like Steven, you can also be a squire, which gets you access to the monthly secret segment and vlog. And there's a page level, which gets you access to the monthly secret segment. For the details on all of those levels of support, you can head over to patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast. Get the details there. Consider helping us keep the mics on. We can always use the help and the support and the community. So again, that's patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast. Say hi to us. Say hi to Steven. And thanks again to Steven for producing this show. We'll be right back to talk about Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Welcome aboard Two Vague Airlines. We're cruising here at 40,000 feet. That might be too many feet, but what do I know? I'm not really an airplane. I'm a podcaster. Actually, I'm a co-podcaster. I'm the co-host of several episodes of the Two Vague podcast. If you haven't heard it, you're missing out. Check out the Two Vague podcast. Any place podcasts do whatever they do.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. For your continued safety, Two Vague Airlines requires that you keep your seatbelt fastened at all times while seated. But while you're seated, you can tune into the Two Vague podcast, TWOVAGUE, on your favorite podcast services and enjoy the flight.
Harold and the Purple Crayon. Now, Okay, so the news here. This is a movie that is coming on August 2nd. This is based on a children's book. I'm going to guess. So we don't have a trailer for this yet. We just have a poster, which is of Zachary Levi, who is definitively not a kid, holding a purple crayon, walking down a brightly lit street. Am I to understand that the whole gist of this is that if he draws with this purple crayon, if he draws a thing, it becomes a real thing?
Well, I mean, that's what it was in the kid's book, except Harold was a baby. And I'm very confused. Right. Like, I understand it's probably easy to pivot to Harold being any age and having a purple crayon and doing exactly the same thing. But I'm just a little bit confused why they made him a full-ass man and not, like, a child.
This should have gotten the Look Who's Talking treatment, where it is a child, but, like, have Zachary... Baby. Have Zachary Levi do like the voice, because in like Look Who's Talking, it was a full grown man voicing the kid, and it actually worked really well. Look Who's Talking was a phenomenal movie. We don't talk about the sequels, but like the first great.
No,
Look Who's Talking 2 was fantastic.
In this house, we talk a lot about what's the Christmas one, because my wife loves that one. We watched it last Christmas, and it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Where the girl plays basketball. Do you guys know which one I'm talking about? I think it's Look Who's Talking 2, but I'm not positive. It might be Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking 2 is the one with the doggies, so.
Doggies. Oh, yeah. Then it was that one. Just insane movie. Yeah, I mean, let's say I'm Zachary Levi aged, and my name is Harold, and I have a purple crayon, and I realize that if I draw something with the purple crayon, I just get it. It becomes real. What's the first thing I'm going to draw?
Money.
What's the only thing I'm going to draw?
Money.
Stacks of money. I mean, let's cut to the chase here.
Although you can take out the middleman and draw the things you're going to spend your money on. So it's a little bit more.
That's true, I guess. But
I'm not that good at drawing.
If you're a kid, you're not thinking about money. So you're just going to draw whatever the heck you want, whatever comes to mind, whatever your imagination can provide you. If you're an adult, you're just going to draw stacks of cash. Like, I just think that's where this is going to fall down. The tagline is everything he draws is about to get real, which is like a very tagline thing to say. I don't know. I don't want to crap on this. I never read the book, but like...
I think it could have been a fun movie if they did what I suggested. That's the biggest thing, because it needs to live and die off a child's imagination.
Something we need to also focus on, again, based on just the poster, which only has three people on it. There isn't even a child character. Because like, it would make sense, I guess, if he was like, if he had a son or something. But like, no, it's just him wearing a jumpsuit, holding the purple crayon, presumably drawing a bunch of weird stuff. And, you know, I'm sure the movie will give him some kind of reason for doing so. But I agree. I think this could have probably been something. And now everyone's kind of like, what the heck is going on?
It's very strange. And it's also a weird pivot. I know Zachary Levi has done a lot of kid stuff already. Like, he was an elf.
When are we
going to
talk about him? Because I feel like he just cannot. He had Shazam, which was lightning in a bottle. And since then, he just cannot get it right. Is that a fair statement about what he's up to these days?
I don't know if I would say he isn't getting it right. He's been in just a weird smattering of movies. He did the Kurt Warner movie, which actually wasn't that bad.
I heard it was okay. I may have heard that from you guys.
What else? He was in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which he was in and out of fairly quickly. I don't know. He's just been in such a weird smattering of things, and we all just want a Chuck movie. Like, cut to the chase here. Stop messing around with Harold.
Get back with Yvonne.
Make a Chuck movie. Make it happen.
Apparently, he was in Thor: The Dark World, which I think is funny because it's the only one that's like bad.
No, he was the recast of one of those people whose name I can't remember.
I guess he was also in Thor: Ragnarok, so I guess he was in one of the good ones. I do not know who you're talking about or what people you're talking about. But yeah, looking at his like screen career, there's just a lot of stuff here that I'm like, man. After Shazam, he should have kind of, or even after Chuck, he should have kind of been set, and it seems like that hasn't really happened. I should probably try Chuck again. We all know not to open a wound.
You should. It was
I tried
so
Chuck and it didn't work out.
How many episodes did you give it? I can't remember.
Oh, because they were half hours, right? So they went down smooth, if I recall correctly.
No, they were 45 minute episodes.
Well, I watched it. I would have to look. I would have to check the tape, but I feel like I watched at least 4 or 5. I gave it its fair shake. But back to Harold. I guess I just don't know. I mean, obviously this is for kids.
This is a family movie, but what I would really love to see is they frame it like a family movie and then it becomes like a horror movie where Harold and his purple crayon wreak havoc on the world.
Let me ask this.
You've entered Winnie the Pooh territory.
I have. The Pooniverse.
Let me, right. That's a whole other topic. If you could have one children's book that you read when you were a kid turned into a movie, what would it be?
Did they do Curious George already?
Oh, yeah, yes. They did. Many times over, live action and animated.
They sure did.
Do you guys remember that goldfish, that like fish, that rainbow fish one? It like had a scale and you could like touch the scale in the book.
What is it called? Is it what it's called?
I think it's like the rainbow fish, something like that.
That book was solid.
Yeah, it's called the rainbow fish. If adolescence counts, I can't believe this hasn't happened yet, because it would be a banger. It looks like there was a TV series, but I don't know anything about it. Encyclopedia Brown. Did you guys ever read Encyclopedia Brown?
Oh, wow. What a blast from the past.
Apparently, there was a show on HBO in 1989, which is hilarious. It ran for 8 episodes, so it wasn't very good.
I mean, I've said they need to give Vanimorphs a second chance.
I agree with that a lot, actually. I feel like Animorphs could be done really, really well.
Encyclopedia Brown was also optioned into a movie in 2013. And I don't know, the Wikipedia kind of trails off after that. So I'm guessing it fell into development hell. But I liked Encyclopedia Brown a lot. As far as like actual kids books, I don't know. What got me going? Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. You guys ever read Chicka Chicka Boom
Boom?
What was that? Classic.
There was a book. It had a blue cover. It was a chapter book, and there was something to do with clocks.
Oh, you know what else would go so? The Phantom Tollbooth.
Yes, the Phantom Tollbooth. Has that not been adapted yet? I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
The Phantom Tollbooth was adapted into a film in 1970, according to.
Okay, do it again.
According to Google. Oh, you know what will go so hard in the paint? And again, I need to Google, because like we're living in a world now where like most of these probably did happen. We just like didn't notice. Magic Treehouse would go so hard. Ooh. And it looks like that actually hasn't happened, which is insane to me. How has that not happened?
There's
a musical adaptation.
Did anybody else? Yeah, did anyone else read Banicula? It was a vampire bunny.
Nah, I'm out.
Really?
Oh, Banicula. Oh,
They turned it. Okay, actually, they made this into a TV show, it looks like. So
they made Magic Treehouse into a 2011 anime film, actually. It looks like it didn't do very well. So interesting that that's where I wound up. I didn't like Dracula when I was a kid. In fact, I was very scared of Dracula. So I steered clear of Banicula. Even though he was a bunny, he was still scary to me. Anyways.
There was also one other thing. There was a series of books. And like you guys know, I liked Warrior Cats as a kid. But there was a bat series
of books. Talking about Redwall? Oh, I thought you were talking about Redwall. Which
no. Oh man, this is going to bother me now. Silverwing by Kenneth Opel. That series slapped so hard. It was basically about bats and there was like a war between bats. I don't know. It was just so good. I even wrote him an email back in the day. This was supervised by my parents. I wrote him an email and he wrote me a nice email back.
You walked up to AOL. You wrote him. We were talking about the book because there was a show apparently.
Was there really a show? Interesting. Yeah.
2003 okay. Animated TV series. You were too busy with on the dial-up writing him an email to see if there was a show that was actually on at the time.
Well, I didn't write him an email about the show. I just wrote him an email about the books and like what happened after the books.
And he emailed me back being like, watch the show. You guys like, watch the show. Why are you not watching the show? Why are you on the dial-up emailing me? Animorphs would go so hard. You're right about that. I never read Animorphs, but I just like looking at the covers. Anyways, yeah, this is a good Twitter topic. What book did you read when you were a kid where you're like, they should make that into a movie or a show, and they never did? At OW86, at OW Technic, at OW Nerd Bomber, our main show account, at Online Warriors 1. Let's have a conversation. As for Harold and the Purple Crayon, in theaters August 2nd, I don't know that any of your hosts are going to actually go watch it. It's time for What Are You Up To Wednesday. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been up to. And I think I went first last week. Therefore, by law, I cannot go first this week. So I will turn it over to Nerd Bomber to start us off.
All right. So last week we talked about how we were watching The Hunger Games over. And so we finished that and we watched the prequel movie, A Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
You were really close. You almost got it.
It was really, really good. I mean, I read the book, so I knew it was going to be an engaging story, but it was just a really good way to follow Cornelius Snow. Coriolanus. Yes, thank you. Weird name. Yeah,
it ends with anus. She didn't think that through.
Corio, that's what they shortened it to. But basically President Snow as a kid and see how he becomes the person that eventually rules Pan Am and just kills kids every year and is maniacal and crazy. I thought it was really good. There was a lot of gruesome activity. Like, I don't... We obviously just
watched the Hunger Games movies,
but it was definitely a little bit more grotesque, and it leaned into the graphic nature of the killings. And in part, that was because obviously this is all like pre, you know, Hunger Games as we knew it. So it's all very basic, like bludgeoning, stabbing people to death. I felt it was a little more violent than the original four movies, but I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily, because I think it hits the point home of just how like bad the Hunger Games are. Like, you're not supposed to sympathize with him. But overall, like, I thought the casting was great. Rachel Zegler, fantastic. Like, great voice, just awesome acting. 10 out of 10, no notes. Tactic, did you have any notes on this one?
Snow can get it. That's about it.
Snow can get it?
Yeah.
Snow can get
you
it.
You liked him?
Well, I think he just means he's hot.
Yeah, they picked a hunk. They cast a hunk for Snow.
He does seem like he's pretty hot. And actually, this got a 64% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I'm surprised it got so low, because I also heard good things about it.
Give me that audience score. I do. What's the audience
score? Oh, it's 89.
There we go.
It's funny you mentioned the like ultra violence, because like I think I read the book before seeing the first Hunger Games movie.
I thought they were all equivalently violent, if I'm being
honest. Well, I was going to say, the first movie, I remember watching it and being like, getting ready for the games, I'm like, yeah, she's in the Hunger Games. And then like the first whatever, where they all have to run to the like, what is it called, cornucopia thing, and like six kids die in like relatively gruesome fashion, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be like that.
But it's like, I remember like that was fast paced. Whereas like, for example, and I don't want to like give anything away, but there is literally a dude who's like hanging, and you just watch his throat get slashed, and it's just like, oh, okay.
I'm sure that wasn't gruesome.
That was more like mercy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, no complaints.
They all certainly seem gruesome. It sounds like they may have cranked it up a notch for this, which is, all I'm saying is that surprises me. But it is rated PG-13 for strong violent content and disturbing material. Sounds like it fits the bill in that respect.
I would say watch it. If you liked the original Hunger Games, watch it. I think a lot of people, especially when the book first came out, I think they thought that she was kind of pandering and just milking the franchise, and nobody wanted to get Snow's point of view. And I really do think, like, you don't necessarily sympathize with him. Tactic did a little bit. Like, there were points where he was like, so at what point are we supposed to start disliking him? And I was like, came in off the bat, like, well, you know, he's a bad guy from the first four movies and the books, if you read them. Like,
yeah, but a little bit of it is self-preservation in a dystopian world.
He's a very good villain, I think. Like,
it's a very compelling character.
It's not like a Thanos was right situation, but like, I do think that Suzanne Collins does a decent job fleshing out his motivations, even in the original trilogy, to be like, all right, this guy, he's not just senselessly doing this. He has a reason for doing it. He seems to have a set of principles that he sticks to. And I assume this movie kind of shows how those are formed.
It does.
I'm interested in watching it. I 2 hours and 37 minutes is a tough sell.
It did not feel that long because there were, and they did a really good job. They broke the movie up into chunks. So there were like, I don't know if they called it book or chapter, but it was like chapter one, and it kind of broke it up into phases. So it was almost like clearly not the same as watching episodes of TV, but you know when you're really going and you just string together like three or four episodes of a really good show, it more felt like that. Like, I didn't feel at any point that it dragged, because there were so many different settings in this movie and a lot of content and development of the character that they had to cover. Nothing felt like it was drawn out, slow, anything like that.
I'm sure that's exactly how they wanted you to feel.
There were moments, like, because I read the book, there were parts of the movie that I almost wished like they had a little bit more time to address, and they simply didn't. So,
and I think it does a good job still continuing to portray the dystopian like humanity that like it reflects the dystopian humanity that we live in every day. And that's why I really don't think like he's so much like an evil person. It's more like if you put it from the perspective of like the lowly worker working his way up to the CEO, they're not bad, but over time they become the enemy, right? It's all they put their own success above the benefit of many, and it's just, you can see how this happens, and it's kind of interesting.
Anyway, long story short, don't let the 2.5 hour timestamp deter you from this because it's super good.
Am I required to read the book before seeing this? Or do you think it would be good for me to do so?
I mean, for me, it was just neat. Like, I always like to read the book before I see an adaptation, but Tactic, I don't think it really took anything away from his experience not having read the book.
No, he was just vibing with Snow the whole time. He's like, this guy's got a point.
No.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Anything else to update us on? Or is it my turn? I'm going to go next.
No, it's your turn.
I got a beefy update. All right. There's a lot going on for me right now. First of all, watched a movie this weekend called Schindler's List, which you've probably heard of because everyone's heard of it. This is one of those movies that I know I just gave you a bunch of grief for a movie that was 2 hours and 37 minutes. This movie was over 3 hours, and that's the reason I haven't watched it yet, because it's like consistently in like top 10 movies ever made lists and like must watch sort of thing if you like care about movies or whatever. It's exactly what you think it's going to be. If you don't know what it is, you should like Google it. But if you know at all what it's about, it's exactly what you think it's going to be, but that doesn't make it any less good. It's probably worth the time, but it's, you know, it is kind of akin to Oppenheimer of like, you know, you're watching something really good, but it's like 3 hours, 15 minutes of like kind of heavy stuff. But anyways, I would recommend it. It was a good experience. Started watching The Sopranos. It's too early for me to weigh in on that yet. I think we've watched 3 episodes. What I will say right now is that it's very, very 90s. Like, it's aggressively 90s, which makes sense because it came out in the 90s. Finally, I finished a book and started a book. I don't remember if I even talked about the book I started last time because I read this book in like, I think less than a week or around a week. It was a book called When You Are Engulfed in Flames by David Sedaris. If you don't know who David Sedaris is, this is nonfiction. It's like, he's kind of just a guy who like, he's a comedian. He's a humorist who like writes essays about his life. And it was a very short book. It was a very good palate cleanse kind of book between heavier reads. So I finished that. It was good. There's like a million books like it. So if you're a fan of one of them, I'm told you're going to be a fan of others. I'm sure I'll read more of him. But I then dove into a book called Dark Matter. This is a book by Blake Crouch. Have you read this book?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're big Blake Crouchians over here. Tactic was the OG, actually.
Yeah, I actually introduced her.
I had a feeling you guys may have been Crouchians. This is my first Crouch. Got it from the library. Shout out to the Libby app.
He has a way of getting you into a real page turner. I don't know how to better describe it, but
yeah, I put down. I'm reading it on Kindle, so I think in terms of percentages, I think I put down like 15% of this book in one sitting without really intending to. Because
I got sweaty.
The first like 15% of this book goes real fast and real hard. It's like, well, I don't want to give away anything for if anyone's going to read it. But it's a classic, like, it's this sci-fi mystery thriller, ostensibly. And I'm getting a little bit of all of that. And, like, I'm at the point in the book now, again, I'm at, like, 15% into it, where, like, there's a million questions and no answers. And I'm sure I'm going to get answers. But this is a genre that, sci-fi, at least, is a genre that I don't really read much. And I'm kind of trying to, with my 2024 reading, cast a very wide net, so to speak. So
diversify your portfolio, as some would say.
Atta girl.
Yeah, this is highly rated. I slightly consulted Goodreads to like, I basically just went like, what are the best sci-fi books of all time? And like, this wasn't number one. I think this was like actually down at number 40, but like reading the synopsis for it, I thought it sounded the most interesting. So,
I have some recommendations for you.
There was another guy. Have you read any Neal Stephenson? Because I have, yes. I almost got a Neal Stephenson, but I won't.
He's like the original Ready Player One, but he's also dabbled in like a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, his most popular one is about like monks who like live in a world where like he sounds like he's doing a lot. But yeah, I'm interested in your recommendations in this genre specifically, because like I said, it's one that I don't traverse very much. But I'm early going in Dark Matter, but I'm enjoying it so far, and I'll report back. Tactic, why don't you close us out here?
We watched Ricky Stenicki. And I gotta say, this was way, way funnier than I thought it was gonna be. And I thought it was gonna be funny. There was a little bit of crude humor that was just kind of like extra, but like there's other things going on when the crude humor is going on to make you appreciate the scenes and not to just be raunchy humor. John Cena, absolutely hilarious. 10 out of 10 recommend this movie. No notes. Just watch it. I'm not even going to tell you anything. Just watch Ricky Stenicki, have a cocktail, and you'll have a good time.
John Cena is funny.
John Cena is hilarious.
If you ever watched Trainwreck, that was the movie that I watched where I was like, this guy's like actually legitimately hilarious. And almost everything he's been in since, I've been like, damn, this dude is actually really comedically gifted. I hate the title Ricky Stenicki. I don't know if I said that when we talked about it on the show. I hate the title Ricky Stenicki. It's not going to necessarily stop me from watching it, but just wanted to throw that in there to kill your buzz. Anything else, or is it quiz time?
Quiz o'clock, baby.
Tick tock, tick tock. Let me pull up the rankings here. Let's see where we're at. I believe I remember. Yes, we are all 4-3. Steven, 0-1. Steven, we tried to give a charity win and he wouldn't take it. And I'm going to hold it over his head for the rest of the year. So we're competing for top dogsmanship or dog womanship, Nerd Bomber. So best of luck to you, but also I hope you lose.
All right. So the quiz topic is Nanoland. Now, if you don't know what Nanoland is, it was a popular BBC puppet television show for kids. And it was made many moons ago. But with TikTok, it had a resurgence in popularity. So with that said, what year was Nanoland created?
I'll go first. I'll give Nerd Bomber a sporting chance. I will also start by saying I have no idea what this is. Like, not what? Even the faintest clue. I'm not on TikTok. So what are the reason would I have to know what it is? Based purely on nothing and just vibes, I'm going to say 1981.
That's a real good guess. I don't want to use my plus one yet, though. I'm going to say 1990.
All right, so Nerd Bomber takes this one. In 1999, Canadian puppeteers Jason Hopley and Jamie Shannon created Nanoland. All right, next question. How many Nanoland shorts are there?
I mean, it's been running. I think they're still making new ones. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like there's got to be at least 250.
$1, Bob.
All right, so Illegal takes this one. There are 71 shorts. All of what you're seeing as far as the, quote, new ones are not new ones. They're just reshowing recycled. The old ones.
May have been a waste of my one, but I'll take the point. I mean, I don't know what we're even talking about here. I don't know what Nanoland is, so the fact that even on the scoreboard feels like a major victory.
So for those of you who don't know, Nanoland is a show about the adventures of Mona and her grandmother or her Nana at her Nana's house. So that's why it's called Nanoland. So with that said, how old is Mona?
I mean, she's the impressionable young age of 7.
No, I think she's like 2.
All right. So without knowing the show, this one would have been easy. But Nerd Bomber gets this one. She is 3 years old. Yeah, she still struggles with like talking and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely no idea. So I'll take the L on that one. I plan on winning still.
Since Mona's popularity, she became available on Cameo. How much for a personalized video?
I feel like she's not a cheap date, but she's not that expensive either. I'm going to say it's probably like $75.
It's a strong guess. I feel like that's probably the median for any Cameo. I'm going to undercut you and say $50.
So Nerd Bomber gets this one. $200.
No way.
That's just too much. That's not right.
It's hilarious.
Okay, well, I'll take the L. I never had much of a chance on this one, but let's do the last question anyways.
So the sun has set on Illegal, but we're going to finish it out with how many followers does Nanoland have on TikTok? And the answer is 1,000.
What?
The unit is how many thousands of followers. Yeah.
The answer is 1,000.
That was very confusing.
Okay, well, I go first here. You told me the answer is 1,000, so I'm inclined to just to say 1,000 as a joke, but I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say 642,000.
642,001.
All right, so you both busted. It's 387,500. Yeah, people don't follow a lot of accounts. They just like and move on. It's the TikToks.
I feel like I was just punished for 10 minutes for not being on TikTok, but I accept that. I deserve to be punished. I should be part of this generation. Yeah,
this was an unfair selection. Let me be clear. I had no choice in the selection, but she is a self-proclaimed expert, subject matter expert of Mona.
I'm not salty. There are no unfair selections. I believe one of the most recent quizzes I won was the one about pink, and I was like, I'm going to lose this, and then I won, because that's the joy of quizzes, baby. I moved to 4-4, Nerd Bomber to 5-3, which puts Nerd Bomber in first. I moved to last. That's showbiz, baby. I'll be back next week. Don't even worry about it. All my fans out there, just catch your breath. It's going to be okay. We will be here next week to talk to you about all things and sundry. But until then, we would invite you to go over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review there. You know, whether you liked it or didn't like it, you can hit us up on Twitter at the handles mentioned. Tell us why we suck or don't suck. And go out there and tell your friends about the Online Warriors podcast. We are defending various websites, as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, and we're giving you that hot, hot pop culture news. So don't miss it. Next week, be here. We'll talk to you then. But until then, stay safe and keep podcasting.